So we are here with Vic Mignogna, voice of Edward Elric in Full Metal Alchemist and many, many others. How are you doing today?
I'm good, and I'm pleased that you actually pronounced my name properly.
You're
so
welcome.
So many people are like, I'm here with Vic. And they have, you know, they kind of bail out on it. But I'm great. We're at an awesome convention. It's a pleasure to talk with you guys.
I mean, I've always known how to pronounce your name, but spelling it is
what
stresses
me out. Don't even try. Don't even try.
I'm just like, Vic, Google that.
Yes. All these superfluous silent consonants in there somewhere. Yeah, it's tricky, but.
Yes.
But yeah, so we have a couple of questions that we know our fans are dying to know.
Bring it on.
But speaking of fans, our first question is actually about your fans. What are your thoughts about your fan club, the Risen Bull Rangers?
Wow, what are my thoughts? My thoughts are love and more love. I am so blown away. When I was contacted about 5 or 6 years ago by a couple of girls, and they said, we like your work and we would like to start a fan club for you. I was like, you're kidding. Get out of here. I would love that. So they started the Risen Bull Rangers, and we named it after, of course, the little town that Ed and Al are from, Risen Bull. And that was like 6 years ago. And now we have like 15,000 members, and we have an awesome website. And we have, I love seeing, at every convention I go to, there are always, you know, dozens and dozens of Rangers, and some of them have made their own Ranger uniforms, and some of them have Ranger bracelets and Ranger t-shirts and Ranger backpacks. And
wow.
And I just, it's humbling, because I never would have imagined that something like that would ever happen, much less that it would grow into the group that it has become today. And like I tell people, we have kids in the Rangers that have met and become best friends. And we have fans that have met and gotten married from someone they met in the Rangers. And it's just, it's the greatest, greatest group of people. And we have a lot of great officers and moderators who make sure that it's a kid-friendly place, so that there isn't anything that parents would be like, you know, what, you saw that? Where did you see that? And who talked like that? And who sent that picture to you? And, oh, from the Rangers. No. We want to make sure that it's a place that all different ages of fans can come and basically meet people who love what they love, have the same interests.
Yeah, so. And that's, I mean, with this kind of a fandom, that's always so difficult because there's a lot of judging when it comes to anime fans.
There are. So the Rangers have been, in answer to your question, have been an unexpected blessing and a real gift in my life.
It's wonderful to hear. I know we have a few people on our forums and in our community who are Rangers, and they were really excited when we
Oh, good. Well, if you're out there, I love you.
Aww.
Super Ranger love coming at you.
Super Ranger. I see a t-shirt with that on it soon. Next con. Super
Already
Ranger
made
love.
I promise.
One of the things, of course, we ask almost all of the voice actors who we interview, how'd you get your start, and what would you have been if you weren't a voice actor?
Well, whatever I would have been, I already am. I do so many different things that I love to do, and I was doing it long before I was voice acting. I've been voice acting for probably, I don't know, 12, 13 years now. But before that, I was writing and producing music professionally, and I still do that. I was shooting and directing and editing video production, independent video production, and I still do that. I was graphic designing, you know, different kind of things, and I still do that. acting, and I still do that. So, I mean, the things that I love to do, I've always tried to figure out a way to do them, and it had absolutely nothing to do with whether or not I was being paid to do it. Mm-hmm. It was just, I love this. I need to find a way to do this. And, I mean, even the first voice acting job I got, I didn't ask them, well, how much does this pay? Didn't matter. It sounded like fun, so I did it. And, you know, when somebody asked me to, when I started writing songs and producing songs, the question was never, I wonder how much money I could make. Never occurred to me. It was just, you know, I love singing and I love writing songs and I love producing them and hearing songs that I made up in my head come to fruition and be a finished, produced, piece of music that I can share with people. Never even occurred to me that I would ever make money doing it. And when some fans at a convention asked me 5 or 6 years ago if I would bring some of my music CDs to a convention, I looked at them and I patted them on the head and I'm like, oh, you're so sweet. You wouldn't like my music. Because it didn't occur to me that anime fans would really be interested in my music. It was like two different things, you know?
Right.
Just because you like my voice acting doesn't necessarily mean that you want to buy a movie that I was in or that you want to buy a book that I wrote. You know what I mean? It's two different things.
Yeah.
And I'd seen lots of voice actors at conventions trying to peddle this book they wrote or some movie they were in, and they never sold many. And so I kind of made a mental note. Anime fans like what you do in anime, and anything else that you do is unrelated. So don't try to push that. So it never occurred to me. And it was literally the anime fans that encouraged me to start bringing music CDs. And then when they started enjoying my music, I started writing and producing more songs geared towards something they would enjoy. Like a remix CD with like club mixes of different songs and high energy fun stuff. And songs related to Full Metal or to voice acting itself, like Soldier A, or things that, you know, things that were kind of gave them a unique perspective to voice acting. So in answer to your question, if I weren't voice acting, I would still be doing what I'm doing. I would probably still be voice acting. I just wouldn't get paid for it. Or I would still be writing songs. And I intend to do what I'm doing now until I die, mm-hmm. because these are things that I love. Similar to when people ask me questions like, what do you do in your spare time? Well, you know what I do? I do what I do now. I do the same thing because what I do that I get paid for is what I love to do anyway. Yeah. So when I have spare time, I'll write a song and I'll be producing something or shooting a video of something. And it's a rare, rare blessing to get to do something, to get paid to do something that you would do anyway. I would wish that for everyone.
That's one of the things I have to admit that I was really impressed. One of the first panels that I ever went, you said that you had CDs, I think of gospel or spirituals or things like that, and you offered it for free, and I was just so impressed by that, that you, because
well,
I'm sure you could charge,
thank
I mean, I'm sure you could charge a few bucks for those, and people would still buy them. And
well, and you know what? They cost a lot of money to make.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that people really ever think about that. They never really think that through sometimes, that companies that burn CDs professionally, they don't do it for free.
No, they charge money.
You have to pay them. Somebody's got to pay them. Mm-hmm. Somebody's got to pay to have it pressed. And I do that. I mean, I'll just let you know. I mean, every 1,000 CDs of the Gospel of John that I get pressed cost $1,000. Well, somebody's got to pay for that. Well, I don't expect the fans to pay. That is my gift to the fans. So I pay for it. And when you run out, you got to buy 2,000 more.
Yeah.
And 5,000 more. And it adds up. But I made that years ago as a way of saying thank you to the fans. And any anime fan that's ever done any kind of Googling about me knows that my faith is very much a part of my life. And so what better could I give to fans than something that's precious to me? So I tried to make it contemporary and fun and put little voices to the different characters, the disciples and Jesus and Mary Magdalene and Pontius Pilate and the works and all the Pharisees. And then I played the piano underneath all of it to make it, again, easier to listen to. And it took a long time.
I can bet.
Months
I can only imagine.
And months. Whenever I was at home and I was sitting watching television, I thought, I should go kick out a couple of chapters in John, and I'll go back to my studio room and I'll record a couple of chapters. And then I have to edit them and clean them up. And then when I decided to play the piano underneath it, that took a while as well.
Oh, yeah.
But it was a huge labor of love, and I don't regret it. And it may be one of the best things that I've ever been able to give the fans in return for their kindness and their support of my work.
Well, on behalf of the fans, thank you.
Oh, my honor. Thank you.
Well, I guess to go off in a different direction now, we always ask this to everyone because it always gets some of the best answers.
Best answers.
Uh-oh,
ever.
No pressure. But, boy, Vic's answer was lousy.
No.
Okay, what is it?
It can't be.
Okay.
give us some of your, or one of your funniest con experiences or behind the mic stories.
Wow. You know what the bad thing about having done this for 13 years is? You have so many stories and you think you're going to remember them. The moment that it happens, you're like, oh my gosh, this is going to be a great story at the conventions. And then you forget because so many things happen. I know I'm trying to think of it and I can't. There was something that happened, something really funny that happened, and I can't think of what it is. But I told myself, remember this. This will be a fun story to share. And I can't remember it.
Oh, no.
But there have been a lot of really fun stories. Neat things that happened or funny or sad. But I have a lot of fun experiences at conventions, too. I'm just blown away all the time by the expression of the fans. Could be anything as funny as like three fans showed up yesterday wearing t-shirts they made that said Vic for president. And it had this weird picture of me that they had silkscreened on their shirts.
Right. Oh.
I mean, it's just funny, you know, and you would never expect that.
You better watch out. The Risenbull Rangers could get behind that one.
Yeah, maybe I could get into the debates. And yeah, but then, you know, and then anything from fun experiences like that to somewhat weird ones where, you know, fans will give you a lock of their hair in an envelope.
Ooh,
or wow. Want to lick your hand, or like some guy will come up and kiss me, you know, and then run away. Strange things, random things. But you know what? I have nothing but good things to say about the fans. There are some voice actors out there who are like, they want to tell con horror stories. Mm-hmm. And when I go to conventions and I'll see that panel on my schedule, I will say to the convention, I'm not going to do that.
Oh.
Because I'm not about going to panels and talking trash about other conventions or how weird, you know, or pervy fans can be, because I don't have that experience. My experience is all kids are awesome. They express their enthusiasm for anime in different ways, and it's all harmless, and I have no horror stories to tell about any convention or fan. It's all just people and their unique expressions of their love for something.
It sounds like one time when we were talking with Brittany Karbowski, or one of her panels, rather, she was saying how everyone always asks, what's the worst thing that a fan has ever done to you? And she always stresses, she's like, 99% of the people that come to conventions are genuinely normal, sweet people. But unfortunately, everyone only wants to talk about that 1%, that
right.
Two people who were maybe a little too out there for someone's taste.
Right, right. Well, I have thoroughly enjoyed every experience that I've ever had. And I, you know, the last thing you would ever want to do is give a fan the idea that, wow, if I do something completely off the wall and way out there, Vic's going to talk about it at conventions,
oh,
and I'll
no.
become kind of famous as the person who did this. Or, you know, you don't want to encourage that kind of behavior. But sometimes I think about that. Sometimes I think some of those voice actors who talk about the weird fans, sometimes I wonder if something really, like really bad, you know what I mean, like really weird or strange or bad would ever happen to a voice actor because a fan thought he would kind of become famous himself by doing something or saying something really out there.
Right.
So you don't want to encourage those kind of things. But like I said, I to me it's all harmless and in good fun. So
excellent.
Very nice. So your fans might know about your story of how you came across Tamaki from Moron.
Tamaki.
You know, just how you saw it in Japanese and really fell in love with the character, and even though it wasn't optioned yet, you kind of wanted to be a part of it.
Yes. I have a very unique... Oran is a very unique experience for me because, you know, all of the shows that I've done, I never knew anything about ahead of time.
Right.
And Caitlin Glass actually encouraged me to watch some episodes of this show that she had found that she was in love with, and it had never even been licensed yet.
Mm-hmm.
So for you guys listening, a show has to be licensed by an American company before it will ever be recorded in English. Depending on what company licenses it, you may have little to no chance of being in the show. So, for instance, if a show gets licensed, like Death Note, mm-hmm. I wanted to be in Death Note so bad.
Who did you want to be?
I don't care. I just wanted to be in it. I heard about the story, and it sounded like a really cool show, and I wanted to be in it. Well, then it got licensed to be dubbed in Canada. Mm. You will not find an American actor in a Canadian anime because they're not allowed. One of the deals is you got to use Canadian actors.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so like Inuyasha and Death Note, some of those shows, they were dubbed in Canada, and you will not hear any American actors in those shows. So Oran, Caitlin found this show before it was ever licensed, and she gave me a disc with 5 or 6 episodes on it. And I started watching it, and I was immediately in love with Tamaki. And even Caitlin was like, oh my gosh, Tamaki reminds me of you. And I didn't know how to take that. I didn't even know how to take that because for those of you out there, my fiance is sitting beside me pointing at me going, he is Tamaki.
We can confirm this. It has.
But I kind of made the cardinal sin of acting, and that is you fall in love with a character before there's ever any chance that you'll ever get to play that character. And as luck or fate or God would have it, Funimation licensed the show. And as luck or fate or God would have it, Caitlin got chosen to direct the show. And as luck or fate or God or Caitlin would have it, I auditioned, and everybody knew I wanted to play Tamaki. And I auditioned for Tamaki, and I auditioned for one of the twins, and I auditioned for Kyoya, and got cast as Tamaki. So Oran is a unique experience for me in that I really savored every line I recorded as Tamaki because I was so excited to get to be playing the role that I just loved every minute of that show.
Is there anything coming out that you've seen from Japan or that's been pointed out to you that you think that hasn't been licensed yet that you would really want to be involved with?
I've heard of a show called Blue Exorcist, and I don't know much about it, but I know that it's got a lot of fan excitement. So it's not been licensed yet, and I don't know what the deal is on it, but I would love to get to be a part of that. Vampire Night was one of those shows where I heard about it and I knew that it had a big fan base and it seemed like a cool show. And so I kind of set my sights on wanting to be involved in it. And as luck or fate or God would have it, I got the chance to play Zero and Ichiru in Vampire Night. So people don't realize that I'm not like Brad Pitt where I can just kind of sit in my palatial, you know, home and decide what projects I wish to be
You're
a part
not?
Of. Nope. I am just a lowly actor who prays that he gets the chance to play characters in shows.
Steve Bloom says, voice monkeys.
Exactly. Exactly. When I get emails from fans or I'm at a convention and they say, you know, what made you decide to play Tamaki, or what made you decide to choose Fi in, you know, Tsubasa? And I'm like, oh, no, no, no. I threw everything I had at the wall and prayed that something would stick. That's the way most actors are. We just want to get the chance to do what we love to do. So I am not so important that I can choose characters I wish to play. I audition for roles that I really want to play, and then I keep my fingers crossed that I'll get to play them.
I think we're running out of time, unfortunately. But one thing that we've talked about at length is pretty much the hard times that the dubbing houses have found themselves in America, and the problems with piracy and things like that. And what do you see as the future of the anime industry in America, and where do you think it's going? What do you think has happened? Just thoughts in general.
Well, I'm trying to remain optimistic. I would like to believe that anime is not going anywhere. It's popular enough. It has a big enough fan base. there is enough enthusiasm behind it that it's not going to just go away. I hope.
Me too.
Having said that, fans need to understand that things like ripping DVDs and putting them online are not helping anybody. Because by doing that, they're actually hastening the demise of that which they love. Because, you know, as much as we all love anime, as much as the voice actors love to do it, and if you were to say to me, you know what, we can't pay you $30 an hour anymore, but we can pay you $20, do you really think I would care? I would be like, whatever, dude, whatever. As much as we would like to think that that's the way everybody is, unfortunately, anime companies cannot afford to make anime if they can't make their money back on their investment.
Of course.
Somebody has to put hundreds of thousands of dollars into writing stories, hiring people to write scripts, hiring animators to animate thousands of cells, hiring designers, hiring studios, hiring actors, hiring distribution companies, hiring graphic artists to create packaging. There are tons of things that go into making an anime. And I think sometimes the fans are a bit naive. They think, oh, well, there's just a couple of guys and they spit this stuff out magically and why should we have to pay for it? If a company cannot stay in business, they spend hundreds of thousands of dollars making an anime, and then they put it out on DVD or Blu-ray, and fans rip it and put it online for free, then that company is not going to be able to make their money back, and it's not going to be profitable or advantageous to even make more anime because they can't make any money at it. They can't keep their doors open. They can't pay anybody to make the next anime. Then it's going to go away. Yeah. And the studios are going to fold, and the anime companies are going to close their doors because it no longer makes any sense. They can't pay people. They can't reimburse their artists. I hope that never happens. I know that anime companies like Funimation and Viz and some of the big companies are trying their best to figure out ways to make it appealing for fans not to do that. And all I can do is, you know, send out the plea on podcasts and interviews to ask fans, if you love anime, don't give it away for free because, you know, it's not going to be able to stay afloat. And we've seen several companies fold because of it. So I hope it's going to be around. I think it's going to be around, but it's going to take everybody who loves it making a concerted effort to make the right moral, ethical choices and help it stay afloat.
Well, I'm sure we all definitely yes. do feel exactly the same way.
And we do too. I think we're all in unison about that, you know? We're all united yeah. that we don't want to see it go away.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time once again.
Thank you,
yes.
guys.
Appreciate it.
And your home is Orlando.
Yes.
So, you know, if you guys want to do a part two and continue this at MegaCon next year, let me know, and maybe we can get to more of the questions. I'm sorry if I was long-winded a little bit.
No, definitely. We like it when our people talk, when they're not shy. So.
Well, that is not one of my problems. So I will look forward to seeing you guys again. And to all your listeners, I love you guys, and I'm so grateful for your support and your enthusiasm for anime. And come out and see me at conventions, and I look forward to seeing you guys again.